Let us now turn to God's Word and open it at the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 51, and we will read from that chapter, the verses 1 through 6, also in connection with the sermon. As we will also read and hear in Matthew 16, the Lord speaks about stones, that's not the first instance that the Lord speaks about stones. He also has already spoken in the prophet Isaiah, as we will read. Let us read this part, Isaiah 51, 1 through 6. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and a desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Listen to me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nation, for law will proceed from me, and I will make my justice rest as a light of the peoples. My righteousness is near, my salvation has gone forth, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands will wait upon me, and on my arm they will trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look on the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish away like smoke. The earth will grow old like a garment, and those who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not be abolished. Let us now turn to the New Testament, to a passage our text is taken from, Matthew 16. Matthew 16. We will start reading with verse 13 up to verse 19. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So the theme of the sermon is that Christ builds his church, and then especially we focus on verse 18, and I will read again verse 16 through 18. Here it is, we read that Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon bar Jonah, we should take particular note of how the Lord addresses this disciple, Simon bar Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Verse 18, and I also say to you that you are, and then in the translations we read Peter, but actually what in the text is written is you are a rock. Peter means rock, but in the text that word is mentioned there, you are a rock. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you want to build something, or actually when you do so, for example, a house or a shed or a workshop, then a lot of preparations need to be done. A plan needs to be drawn up, place has to be chosen, and especially materials have to be gathered. Well, the materials chosen have to be worked on in order so that they fit their specific place, their spot. The costs also need to be calculated. After all those preparations, then the groundbreaking work can be done. Well, in Matthew 16, the Lord Jesus speaks about his building work. He will build his church. He has a plan. He collects his materials. He also knows the cost. Building his church will cost the Lord everything. As you might remember in the recent sermon on Lord's Day 21 about the church, the emphasis was on the church as the house of God, the house of God through his Son. And that church building work is God's work. Church building work is foremost God's work. Now, this morning we will see our Lord Jesus busy as the master builder of his church. God's word comes therefore to us as this message. Christ builds his church, and for his building work he takes as the first foundation stone Simon, called Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah. Secondly, the other foundation stones, the other disciples that were also present there in Caesarea Philippi. And finally, also for his building work, he takes the believers as living stones. So Christ builds his church. Now, brothers and sisters, I need to start off by being a little technical. And that is necessary when tracking a building process. So I like to mention the key words of our text in regard to the Lord's building materials. And so you will hear a few technical terms, Greek words. The Lord points to the following materials. He uses a single stone or a rock. And the word for that stone is Petros. Then, next, the Lord locates a solid rock formation. And that Greek word for the bigger boulder or that formation is then Petra. So in the text, two different words for rock or stone are used, Petros and Petra. And then also he gathers his believers. And that word is also well known to us as ecclesia. And that means the gathered workers, the gathered people, the gathering. So our text shows then how the Lord gets his building material. That on a certain day, he walks, as he did very often, he walked with his 12 disciples then in the neighborhood of Caesarea Philippi. And they passed an area most probably that was scattered with rocks and boulders. And it could well be that it was kind of a construction site. Perhaps there were some builders who were busy and cleaning and leveling the rocky ground for their project, building project. Our Lord, so to speak, used then that building lot for a groundbreaking site to draw the disciples' attention for his building work. He stopped walking and asked them, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" And you know, we have read the answer, and the disciples reply, some say John the Baptist, others said Elijah, or the prophet Isaiah, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Then the Lord Jesus' next question is, but what about you? What do you say? Who that I am? And then Simon, speaking on behalf of the others, says, the other disciples were there as well, but he often was the spokesman. Simon says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The Christ. So the apostles, the disciples, through Peter, through Simon, points to the Messiah. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Let's note, the disciple Simon doesn't say, well, John's thinking is this, James' opinion is as follows, and Andrew again has another view. And by my own conviction is so and so. My own conviction differs from all the others. No. The one conviction of Jesus' disciples stood over against the conflicting opinions of the Jews. The Jews let themselves be guided by their own minds and by their own conclusions. What about the disciples? How did Simon, the son of Jonah, answer the question? Where did his answer come from? First of all, let us also consider, does the Lord replied as well? Did the Lord Jesus reply, "Well, Simon, well, while all others have it all wrong, you are totally right, and I applaud your view and answer." The Lord's reaction is surprisingly totally different. He says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." It is an amazing reaction. It is. The disciples come to hear Simon, flesh and blood didn't prompt you to say that I am the Christ. You didn't speak your own mind. No, my Father in heaven revealed it to you. He inspired you to say who I am. You spoke with wisdom from above. That's the Lord's reaction. And it can also be described as, what if others don't see, you see. And that is beautiful. Because my Father in heaven has made you see the invisible work of God. And loved ones, the Lord's reaction totally torpedoes most people speaking then about the church, including ours. Often when we speak about the church, we do so empirically. That is on the basis of what we see, feel, think, or even plan in view of what needs to dominate and rule the church, or which atmosphere we like to experience and create in church. All circumstances, however important they are, circumstances often are the first motivations for a church building project. Oh, we have enough people, and we have the finance in place, and we already have an option on a plot of land. Loved ones, church building, church keeping, church developing work, church work is first and foremost a spiritual matter. It is directed from above. It comes from, so to speak, it comes from God's drawing board. Christ is the church planner, and Christ is the church planter. In the recent sermon on Lord's Day 21, the emphasis too was on the work of the Lord and on the Lord's ownership. Remember, and we also used the word kurios for Lord. Kurios is the name for the Lord. That means the church comes from Him. He is the Lord of the church. So when you think, speak, go to church, indeed let your focus be on the house of the Lord, God's house. He plants it, He builds it, He owns it, He maintains it, and yes, He gathers the church. That truth is crystal clearly revealed in Matthew 16. God uses Simon, the son of Jonah. That is his name, how the Lord addresses him. Simon, son of Jonah. The Lord uses him as his mouthpiece. As well as that the Lord Jesus credits him as the first one, as a usable stone. Peter is the first usable stone in Christ's building work. That's indeed what the Lord says. The Lord says here, Simon, you are a stone. So let's take good note of this. That in Matthew 16, we see the Lord picking up Simon as the first stone in building his church. Truly, the emphasis is fully on Simon as the first stone, not on his name. In our text, as many of yourselves, I myself too, often have read it as that the Lord changed here the name Simon into Peter. But not the case. It is striking that when the Lord addresses him after this event, then the Lord Jesus never addresses him as Peter. When the Lord directly addresses this disciple, he uses time and again the name Simon. True. Later on, the disciple Simon carried the name Simon or Simon Peter, or just Peter. However, to understand Matthew 16 as if it is a name changing happening there, a it does not fit the circumstances Scripture describes. And so let's observe carefully that here the emphasis is not on the disciple. Disciple Simon responding to the Lord's question. The question, who do you say that I am? The right answer was not Simon's own answer. It was not an answer from below, as already said. It was from heaven, from God the Father. So what actually then did happen there? As already indicated in the foregoing on that spiritual building site, the Lord picks indeed up his disciples as church building stones. Simon then being the first stone, the first one. The phrase translated in our Bible translations as, I tell you, you are Peter, actually, as already indicated, I tell you, you are a stone. You are a Petros. And loved ones, that short phrase, I tell you, you are a Petros, vibrates from the Lord Jesus' mouth with divine joy. By it, the Lord expresses, oh, Simon, you are the first foundation stone for my church. And after getting then the first stone for the foundation of his church, the Lord picks up more stones. And so we make the transition to the second point. Indeed, beloved, the qualification of being a stone must be extended to the other disciples as well. Let's not forget, they weren't just passive, because they were present there at that building site, at that site, but they were not just passive onlookers at what happened there and what the Lord Jesus asked and said. They were also, in the beginning, they were answering the Lord as well. The other disciples, therefore, also are getting their place in the foundation of the church. They are indeed indicated by a slight word change. We have seen that Simon, the word for Petros is used, a single stone. And then the others are pointed at with that word Petra, indicating a larger solid rock. So as disciples together, they form a rock formation as the solid foundation on which then Christ would build his church. That's what Christ points at with that word on this rock. And then apparently there was one stone there, but there was also a wider or a big boulder or a more a rock formation. Sometimes I wish that we could, that at the time of the Lord Jesus there would be videos or whatever, that we could also watch what the Lord Jesus did. But we now have to do it with the words, so that this is not just to Peter, but that this is now to that rock formation, a solid rock. As disciples then together, they form a rock formation as the solid foundation on which Christ will build his church. That's what Christ points at with the word on this rock. Most probably he would extend it and indeed his hand over all the disciples, that on you disciples I will build my church. As Simon, they all had followed Christ. They had witnessed his work, and therefore as the apostolic foundation of the church, they would receive the commission. Later on, they would receive the commission to bring their witness into the world, to all the nations, also as a prophecy of Isaiah. And thus, the disciples are chosen foundational stones for Christ's church. In a connection with our text about stones, it's interesting that Scripture in other places speaks about people as stones. One important passage we read this morning, Isaiah 51. If you have your Bible open at Isaiah, then you see verse 1. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the hole of the pit, the quarry from which you were dug. When I called him, he was but one, and blessed him and made him many. Referred to as Abraham. Then also called in the Old Testament the father of the believers. In that prophecy, God took his Old Testament people from the quarry, so to speak, of Abraham. And that makes the Old Testament church being built on Abraham, on Father Abraham. The image of stones for God's children is also used by John the Baptist. You read that in Matthew 3. John the Baptist says to the Jews, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to yourselves, oh, we have Abraham as our father. Somebody had links to, indeed, Isaiah 51 again. Don't presume that we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children from these stones. Apparently also these stones they were laying there in the riverbed. In such words to the Jews, the prophet John the Baptist implicates that generally speaking the Jews kind of are rejected as stones. Congregation reading Matthew 16 against the background of the Bible's usage of rock and stones, then we ask, on what does the Lord Jesus then build his New Testament church? So let's observe well. And it needs to be emphasized time and again. In the past we did so, and now again this morning too. The church is not built on man. The church doesn't have its origin in man of flesh and blood. The church won't be solid through man's flesh and blood, by his weak mind, nor on man's theology or man's doctrine. The church builder is Christ. The church builder is Christ. He makes the firm foundation according to his heavenly design. And that's why over against the opinions of the Jews about the identity of Christ, the disciples testified about the only truth from heaven. Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of the living God. Scripture, not only in our text, but especially also in Revelation 21, clearly reveals that Jesus' disciples, as apostles together, they form the foundation. They form the Petra, the solid rock foundation on which Christ builds his church, chosen to everlasting life. Lord's Day 21. And so we see what an important moment our text reveals. The solid rock foundation of Christ's church is rock solid. Repeat. The solid rock foundation of Christ's church is rock solid. Solid. Never forget it. It is laid by the master builder of Christ our Lord. He took his 12 disciples as his apostles, making them to be the foundation of the church. And again, also, it is referred to in Revelation 21. Well, loved ones, you very well know that by laying a foundation, by far, the building work isn't finished. ongoing building work for Christ's church need to be done. More stones need to be gathered and put into place. The Lord will also gather them. And doing so, He doesn't leave you. He doesn't leave you and me out of the picture. You are not off the hook in Christ church building work. You are never out of work here in His church. So we have come to our last point. In our text, we are not only informed about the materials for the foundation of the church, the Lord also reveals the materials to be used for building upon that foundation. The foundation needs an upper structure. Congregation, the church is not a building of wood and stone. There are figures used in the Bible. But also, in our text, the Lord doesn't say, "And I will build my temple." Or, in the Old Testament terms, "I will build my tent." No, He says, "I will build my ecclesia." And that word means a gathering, an assembly. A whole group of people, a congregation. And so the Lord points to the body of living people. And as such a body, we are here also together, like the beginning, the very beginning, only the apostles were there, but later on at Pentecost, the whole church were gathered, first 3,000, 5,000, the assembly. The Lord points indeed to a body of living people. As such a body, we are here together as well. The Lord, so to speak, at the moment doesn't point to the beautiful building in which we have gathered. No, the Lord looks at His precious church by looking at us as His beautiful people. Here, we form His church. In the foregoing, we saw that the foundation of the church consists of living people. Indeed, they are His disciples. And later on, I said, the apostles are sent out for gathering many, many more stones, living stones from all over the world, from the nations. It's also exactly already read in Isaiah 51, if you remember. That gathering happens by the word, by the gospel of salvation. Indeed, through the apostle preaching, the foundation of the church gets its upper structure. Through that preaching, believers are built on the foundation that Christ laid in Caesarea Philippi. The New Testament letters of the apostles clearly show that as Christian believers, we are living stones in the building work of Christ. You read Ephesians 4, and also the second letter of Peter speaks about believers as living stones. The wisdom from above is that the concrete church of the Lord is not made from concrete, from living, believing people. The church is made. And this means that the church doesn't get its shape through bricks and mortar. Much less does the church hang together by rules and traditions. The church has a living structure. And the cement is the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, still revealed also this morning again from the gospel. In Matthew 16, the Lord already dug up and gathered the materials for the foundation, as we've seen. Then it needs emphasizing again, through the apostles, the Lord digs up and gathers all the materials for building on that foundation. He would do so not only from God's Old Testament people, but now also in the new dispensation after his salvation work was done. Now all the nations are in perspective. The upper structure of the church is made from people from the coastlands, including us. We will be gathered, assembled as God's people. And so imagine this, beloved. Imagine it. At the time the Lord spoke the words of our text, then he was surrounded by a few people, 12, only 12. However, as Jesus looked at that little group and humble beginning, what did the Lord Jesus see? Then he saw his complete church already, for he is God, is the Son of God, is also God himself. There in Caesarea Philippi, he saw his church, his complete church. Yes, so then already he saw you and me, he saw all of us here gathered together in Albany. Isn't that wonderful? There in Caesarea Philippi, the Lord saw all those whom he would gather by the worldwide witness that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Well, indeed, important matter now is to know where Christ gathers his church. Is it there where people organize things after their own plans and dogmas and opinions and feelings, likes and dislikes? Beware, since the groundbreaking ceremony of our text, Satan's competition has been strong and fierce in building churches too, building churches by flesh and blood of man. You know, the Jews don't want to give up their place. They hold on to Jerusalem. Rome doesn't want to get rid of its Pope and its Vatican temple. Mecca is the place where Muslims follow their Allah and the Prophet Muhammad. Many faiths and sects follow their own leaders, like the Jehovah Witnesses, Mormons. That is the counter-building of God's opponent, Satan. And that opposing counter-building work has caused a lot of misery, blood, death, divisions. Much sadness till today. Let's be warned. The Lord says in our text, over against Christ's church, as bulwark of the truth and life, Satan builds his fortress of falsehood and death. And that actually that attack was immediately launched after Christ had spoken the words of our text. Then immediately already the devil tried to pick up Simon to make him into his evil instrument. We read that in the ongoing part of Matthew 16. That Jesus even had to say, "Get back behind me, Satan." Then Peter was even called Simon. I should now say Simon was called the devil. It immediately happened, that counterwork building of Satan. Beloved, Satan always has been a star to work with our human senses. Yet, despite all his poisonous aggression from the gates of hell, the master builder of the church continues his work. As the Son of the living God, he prevented Satan from capturing Simon in his web. The betrayal of Judas even contributed to his victory over death. Christ took Thomas' doubts away. Later on, he arrested the Jew Saul, powerfully changed him into the Apostle Paul. And so God's work of gathering his people continued throughout the history of the church. The Son of God opened the eyes also to the reformers. The reformers, their eyes were opened for a man-centered gospel, a man-centered faith. God is still doing so in our day and age, opening our eyes for ideologies and faith based on flesh and blood. But now every Lord's Day, he calls us, he calls you and me to his ecclesia, his congregation, every Sunday, and we have the blessings. He is doing that even twice, that we may spend time with him and each other in his church. And then actually, what does the Lord do here in the congregation? He's doing a lot. A few of the Lord's word of this morning about his people being stones. What is the Lord doing to you and me? Beloved, he is still picking us up as living stones. All of us, young and old, in his ongoing building work. And he gives us a place on the foundation of his disciples. What is Christ's foundation? Look what a miracle that is. For who are we? What is our history? What is our church history? Beloved, are we nicely and clean and polished stones? Do we have our spiritual life nicely in order? Oh no. The Lord, so to speak, must continue to mine us. He has to mine us from the earthly and dusty quarry of sin and filth. He needs to reform us more and more to the teachings, to the full teaching of the gospel of salvation. And so a lot of roughness has to be planed, has to be chiseled away from us. Uneven spots, doubts, false teachings, be cleared up. Christ's Spirit is doing that work through the power of the gospel. And that amazing work happens especially when we are gathered together on Sundays. And that is when we are being gathered by and under the power of God's word, and then also in a holy liturgy, praising Christ as the Son of the living God. In most exuberant songs of praise and worship and glory, we join God's worship in heaven and on earth for the fulfillment of God's promises to Adam and Abraham that salvation belongs to our Almighty God and Jesus Christ, the church builder. Christ, our Savior, conquered sin and Satan. He dispelled lies, false doctrines. What is more, he conquered death and grave. Yes, he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Sitting on the throne, to him be glory, now and evermore. Our King and Lord. Amen.